This is a continuation of a discussion between Clara Rust and Mike Dalton. We've been talking about Irene Sherman. And Clara, just before I changed the tape here, you were talking about Frances, mm-hmm. Irene's sister, who was adopted by the Burnetts in Nenana.
Mm-hmm.
So,
in Nenana. Yeah. She was born in Nenana.
Do you know where... Where is Frances now? Is she still living?
I was talking to someone today, and they told me she's a hopeless alcoholic down in San Francisco, I think she said, in California anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She's a hopeless alcoholic down there. I thought I'd heard that she had died, but Vera was telling me that she thinks it's Brick that had died. You see, they opened up the store on Cushman Street that was called it Brick's Men's Clothing Store, and right now it's Saks, you know, S-A-C-H-S, their clothing store.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 5 years, they had to keep the name of Rick's Clothing Store, and now mm-hmm. they've turned to call it their own name, Saks, the people that had bought it. Mm-hmm. I think they're a relation of the Browns in some way, if I remember right. No, I think the Gillespie, Dr. Gillespie's daughter was married to one of these people, the Saks, but...
But at any rate, Irene Sherman's mother, she stayed in the Nana area, and then this other child, she wouldn't accept.
No, she had no more children after that. So
and, that's a blessing.
There were seven children. She's wrong there because they were not, no. As far as I know, of course, I can be wrong because all the time they're in Nana, I lost track of them. You'd hear a word down again, somebody would be up from there and telling mm-hmm. about her, you know, because I didn't ever live in Nana, and I never went down there very much. So I didn't know too much about it.
Well, now Irene's, she's still in carriage north this winter, and hopefully she can get out again this summer, because
well,
she
sure
values
she
her freedom, I know
yes,
that.
Yes, I'm sure but, she'll get back in her cabin when they...
Last June, after the Pioneer meeting in June, mm-hmm. Kate Kennedy was here.
Oh,
and she was staying out on Yankovic Road near me with Helen Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her a ride, you know, I picked her up, took her to the Pioneer meeting, and I gave her a ride home.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way home, I went through town to get some gas, and after I gassed up, we drove on by Market Basket to go back out College Road. And there was Irene over there by Market Basket, or by the road there.
That time of the night.
And, yeah, it was 10:30 at night, but it was light, you know, it was June,
it was
and the sun was up all night, and...
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful evening, and the sun
she
was shining.
She lives over that way down there.
Oh, yeah, she lives over there. So I said to Kay, there's Irene. She said, oh, let's stop and talk to her, because I haven't seen her for a long time. Of course, mm-hmm. Kay had been outside.
Mm-hmm.
So we went over there, and Irene was lashing something to the back of her three-wheel bike.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And she was just so happy to see Kay Kennedy, because she'd known Kay years ago. And she threw her arms around her and gave her a big hug and kiss. And so we talked, and I had my camera with me, so I said, well, why don't you go over in the sunlight so I can get a picture of you?
Mm-hmm.
So that she wheeled her bike over, rode her bike over, and
uh-huh.
so I got pictures of her with Kay.
Oh, well, fine.
And she said, where are you girls going? I said, well, we've been at the Pioneer meeting. We're on our way home. She mm-hmm. says, well, I'm going over to Big Eye for a beer. Why don't you come with me? So I said to Kay, do you want to go? And she said, well... If you want to go, I'll go.
Oh.
I had to get up early the next day, so I said, well, we'll go over for one drink. So
that was the Big Eye.
That's the International Bar.
Oh, that's... Mm-hmm.
It's over there by...
Yeah,
Meyer,
I know where that is.
Garden
yes, I know where that is. I used to
and
be
Jack
in
Sexton runs it now. He used to run in Nevada.
I've been in when it was the old International, because the girls that stayed at my house during the war years, they'd like to go over there, and we'd get in the back room there, drink beer, and dance a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Jack Sexton runs it, and he used to run the Nevada Bar. And when they condemned the Nevada Bar, made him tear it down, well, he moved over there.
I never understood all the fanfare about that Nevada Bar. It isn't that old, and isn't that...
It was a pretty decrepit old building.
It sure was, huh? And,
but Jack has a clientele that's just, you know...
He draws a crowd.
They're just different people, and you can, I can go in there. Of course, I used to go in there a lot with the News Miner crowd, and I...
So you had your beer with Irene.
So we went over there and had a beer. Of course, everybody walked in the door and knew Irene.
Oh, everybody knows her everywhere.
I bought her a beer. Uh-huh. Of course, she didn't have any money.
No.
Or never seems to.
And don't she get an income some way?
I don't know.
Because I don't think she's ever
but
been
people would walk
work.
In and want to buy us all a drink. Uh-huh. And I had one and I didn't want any more. And Kay didn't want any more. So.
Uh-huh. I bet you didn't enjoy to have you there, though, with her, huh?
Yeah, we enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. We really did. Sure. And when we left, she had about 4 beers sitting there in front of her. And Kay and I decided that Golden Days time, we'd take her to lunch. Mm-hmm. And Kay was going to come back up.
Oh, I bet she'd like that. I bet she liked that.
So Kay couldn't make it, but we went up to the Petroleum Club. And mm-hmm. she just, you know, and I picked her up over there in Grail at her mm-hmm. house. And we were driving over to town. I was wondering what I was going to say to her, because her language is pretty vivid,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Just to put it mildly. And mm-hmm. so I said, Kay can't make it up from Anchorage. At the last minute, she couldn't come. And I'd already made arrangements for Harold Gillum to join us for lunch, but I didn't tell mm-hmm. Irene that. So I said...
You had arrangements for what?
For Harold Gillum, mayor.
Oh, for him's sake.
I asked him if he wanted to go to lunch with us. Mm-hmm. And he said he'd love to do that.
Had he known never talked to her before? He probably knew who she was.
He's known her ever since he was born.
Of course.
Or, well, not when he was born, because he lived in Cordova when he was first born. But he's known her all these years.
Sure.
So I didn't tell her that Harold was coming to lunch with us.
Oh, I'd like to see her when
she... So we went up to the... when we were driving across the Wendell Street Bridge, I said, mm-hmm. Irene, we're going up there at the top of the Polaris building. Mm-hmm. And she says, oh, honey, there's no restaurant up there. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, there is. It's a club. And I said, you kind of have to watch your language up there, because they might throw us off. And we went up there, and they gave us the best seat in the house.
Isn't that wonderful?
And she looked out and mm-hmm. could see the top of the Lathrop building. She could... Mm-hmm. Pointed out the university mm-hmm. and South Fairbanks, and
almost could see where she lived.
She had never been up in a building before.
That's something.
It was really interesting mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to take my tape recorder over mm-hmm. and talk to her again, because then Harold came in and joined us, and that was a big treat for her.
Oh, I bet
you know.
That was something for her.
And she told him about those blankety blank streets over there were all washboardy, and she rode her bicycle over it, bounced her all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he's the mayor, Irene. Mm-hmm. Get him to go over there and fix it for you. So he says, what street is it, Irene? I'll have him go grade it. So he did. Yeah.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah,
he
told him to go over there and fix that street up for
him. That was in city limits over there. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is now.
I didn't know that.
Well, so Hamilton Acres is in the city, and Grail is all in the city.
I see.
So,
yeah, I bet that was 7th. I think she was having lunch with the
mayor. She had, that didn't impress her so much. It's just being up there where she could look out. And mm-hmm. I said, Irene, mm-hmm. you mean to tell me you've never been up in the Northrop building? Or mm-hmm. it's been there since 19.
And she was all messed up like this.
Yeah,
huh?
mm-hmm, just the way she is in that picture. She said, no, I haven't been up in any of them. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever asked me?
Well, you know.
Oh. And we got to talking about one thing and another, and I asked her if she'd ever been to Anchorage, and she said she went to Anchorage one time. Mm-hmm. She had a boyfriend, and she chased him down to Anchorage. And then she came back to Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. I asked her if she'd ever been to Valdez, and she said no.
Never been around anywhere,
never been
I guess,
to
no,
Valdez.
No, I guess not, no.
And she said, you know, I want to go down there sometime, because mm-hmm. my old man came up from Valdez. He walked to Fairbanks from Valdez.
You mean her father?
That's what she, yeah, she mm-hmm. called him her old man. Mm-hmm. And she said, I always wanted to go down there. And I went down in August, but I didn't, you know, I thought if I took her down mm-hmm. there with me, I'd better have the people in Valdez prepared.
Yeah, because well, she didn't say anything about her husband, but she did talk about the boy. Was that it? Did she talk about
She's
the boy?
She's never talked to me about her husband.
Oh, she never did, huh?
That
yeah,
I recall.
I don't remember.
But she's that time she talked about her son again, and mm-hmm. and she said that she hadn't heard from him for over almost 4 years, and mm-hmm. she was afraid that he might have died mm-hmm. because he does have diabetes, and uh-huh. she thought maybe he had a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked to. She said the police had even tried to help her. And I mm-hmm. talked to one of the fellows here in town who works with the FBI, and he said mm-hmm. that they had helped a year or so ago. Mm-hmm.
She had no way to trace him, whatever.
But they had tried to help mm-hmm. running, you know, locate him, and they just couldn't locate him. Maybe they have since.
I wish I could remember what his name was.
I'm going to go see her out at Carriage one of these days mm-hmm. and maybe talk to her on tape and see what she says. Because I think her story is a very...
It's a very sad one. It's so interesting how she's come through and how she's made herself be so liked by folks here in Fairbanks. You know, it's about time they woke up to her for a long while, why she was just sort of lost her eyes, and they all shunned her because, what she was, and she was so forward, you know, and everything, and people really shunned her. But I've always been friendly with her. I always talked to her and would shake hands, and she'd pat me on the, slap me on the, sometimes knock me over, but she'd pound me on the back, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Always so friendly. She just, like a little puppy,
she
just
craves.
So you paying attention to her.
She
you know.
Craves friends.
Yeah, she
really
does. That's I'd like to get to Carriage North sometime. I hope I can get someone take me up there. I think maybe Saturday is going to be the Republican Women's Club. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe Mary Binkley takes me. Maybe she'd go up there because I'd like to see Lucille. Vera said that they wouldn't. She wouldn't let anybody in last night. Lucille wouldn't. She could hear her TV or radio going, but she kept her door locked shut and nobody.
Oh.
They asked her if she'd like to come out to visitors, but she held it to the door. No, she wouldn't be left alone.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go see her. I guess she's pretty bad. Poor person. She was so brilliant. Remember when she conducted Pioneer Convention that time? And
Republican Convention.
Republican Convention.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Do you want to shut this off now? Or is there anything else going on there? Got that, because I thought maybe when the clubs would order the bicycle.
Yeah, Irene's three-wheeled bicycle.
Yeah, uh-huh.
No, she got that from a settlement, an out-of-court settlement.
Oh.
About 5 years ago or so, or 6 years ago, Steve Agbaba,
put down here.
Well, you know Steve Agbaba.
Yeah, oh yes.
And one of the columnists from the Seattle paper, I'm not sure which paper it is now.
I remember, yeah.
And the fellow came up, and Steve was taking him around town and telling him some of the highlights. And he's very descriptive, you know, and very entertaining talker.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about Irene.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow went back and wrote in his column in the Seattle paper about Irene Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
And said things in there that she didn't like, mm-hmm. that were derogatory to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she got really provoked about it and got real mad.
Mm-hmm.
And she got herself an attorney, and she filed a libel suit.
Well, when do you know that? That she got
she did. Money. She filed a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really provoked, and I don't blame her.
I kind of remember that, but I didn't know that's what you got yourself bicycle with. I didn't know that.
But then they decided, rather than go to court on the libel suit, they settled out of court.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what the settlement was.
Mm-hmm.
And her attorney just took about 50% of it.
Oh, yes.
I recall it was Bob Parrish who was her. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they settled out of court, and she got $3,000 or $4,000 settled.
Well, for goodness sake, what do you mean?
And she
was smart enough for that, I'll tell you. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
She's pretty sharp. She She knew high school.
So that's how, from that money, she bought that three-wheeled bicycle.
That's it. And both she has fun with that. She enjoys it.
Did you see her in the Golden Days Parade last year?
Yes, with all of her paraphernalia.
Yeah. And the bicycle, and on the back she has one of these red signs that says danger that she has on the back of the bicycle.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that, because I guess something else attracted my attention, because I sat down on the grandstand there on Lacey Street, you know, and there's so many people getting in the way all the time in front. It's not too pleasant sitting there, because people stand in front and they get in the way and the parade goes by.
Why don't you hand me that picture there?
I remember the dress is kind of a thin polka dot. It's
a
thin voiles type of a dress.
Yeah, it's and it's got lace on it. But mm-hmm. anyway, this is what she was wearing. This picture that's in the what did I say? This the February edition of Alaska magazine.
Yeah.
This is what she was wearing. I think Darby took this picture the same day that I took her to lunch. This was the Golden Days time.
Yeah.
And that cape, I remember seeing
that cape.
I don't know where she got it, but it's a mangy old cape.
Usually where it comes into the Pioneer Tea, you know, at the mug up.
She was all dolled up.
And she pulls the dress up way up here and has a rose or something thin there to hold it up or something like that. Yeah, she thinks she's really dressed up there.
Yeah.
And then before she got her bike, she was just tramping all around Fairbanks, that gravy pack sack on her back, you know.
I've seen her sometimes in the summertime. Mm-hmm. She always has a belt, you know. And I've seen her in the summertime with the flashlight hanging on her belt when the sun's up 24 hours a day. But then when you see her house, when you go in her house, she's got to have a flashlight to see.
Yeah, it's so dark in there.
And it's just packed full of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, she just has a little pathway.
Well, didn't somebody say that they wired it for her, that she had electricity?
She has electricity now.
Yeah, before she'd bring a light or a candle or something.
Yeah.
Well, they put electricity in for her.
But I don't know where she got that that cape, but it's an old one, and it's pretty aging.
Certainly moth-eaten. It's been a beautiful thing at time. It's like a real thin clipped seal.
And and everything she had on there was pinned on with a safety pin. And she carries about a dozen extra safety pins because she's always hiking up her dress or something.
And losing something, huh? Okay, what is the hat made of? I don't remember too much about the hat. Is it a straw? Or I remember the feathers on it because it stuck out every which way.
Yeah. No, it's. I think it's just a... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a woman's straw hat.
It's really something.
Well, I'm glad Darby
64.
I'm glad he did this story, though, because it's written well.
Yeah, it's well
and it tells about her. It tells about her tramping around the bars and the way she dresses.
There's a few mistakes there, like about the children and babysitter and
but
all
it's
that.
But it's got good, it's a good thing, you know.
Not to put in this morbid part, like the fire and what happened to the other children and so forth. Yeah. It's just well not have that in there. Yeah.
But she's like everybody else. She has her own pride, you know.
Of course she does. Mm. And that's wonderful. I'm glad she got the money from that suit because, you know, that wasn't right for him to write. I remember now when she, there's something in the newsletter about that suit. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know Steve had anything to do with it.
Well,
and Steve, I'm so mad at him now, you know, he's got a couple of my stories. You remember he had that little magazine and I wrote a story for him and then he wanted two, so I wrote another and I sent pictures and he got some of my pictures and I can't get them from him. I've been trying like
that. Is he still publishing that little magazine?
No, he's got... It was a beautiful little magazine.
Yeah, it
was. All of a sudden, it was going good, and then he cut it out. And when he was here a year ago or so,
he's erratic.
He told me that he was going to. He's all set up. He's going to get a start. And he's going to use the story in the picture. I don't give a hang about the story because I can always write that over. But I need my pictures. A picture of our old cabin up on 8th, you know, and my mother and I standing in front of it, and that's the only one I have.
Where
like
is
that.
He now?
He's in Anchorage someplace. Bonnie hears from him once in a while.
What's he doing?
And she said when she talked to him, she told him that I want him. So I wished I had thought to tell my son-in-law, because he and Cora are leaving in the morning for Anchorage, and I wished I had told him to look Steve up and tell him he's going to sue him if he, you know, because he's an investigator, and that he would see if he could find out where he is and have him send me my pictures. I don't know why I didn't do that. But he'll be going to Anchorage again, I guess. And they're going down, he and Cora driving down there, having at Wasilla or Palmer, they're having the American Legion convention down there. And they're driving down for that. And then she'll see her daughter, of course.
Well, to go back to this fire, you know, this cabin that she was burned, when she was burned, did the fire department, this is back in 1924, did the fire
24.
Department... they put the fire out?
Oh, yes, because the old charred cabin stood there for a long time afterward. It stood there, all burned inside. The logs, they got it out, but the logs didn't burn down.
Mm-hmm.
The logs didn't burn, but so all the inside was all good.
It ruined the cabin.
And the windows out and the door knocked in. Mm-hmm. And it ruined the cabin, of course. Yeah. It was torn down for firewood or something.
You know, it's amazing
it stood there
that,
a year, so.
As badly burned as she was, and she lived.
Yeah, it is. I guess
now, when someone is that badly burned, he sent out or she sent out, and they're given, skin grafts.
They probably could have, done a better job on her now. But, I'm surprised that she lived, too, because she was really very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pity, in a way, that she didn't go after all this trouble trying to, and when she first came back, it was such a pitiful thing to see her around, and nobody would... hardly talk to her, recognize. She just had to fight her way all the way. But now that she's kind of beginning to sort of like Eva began an institution in her own right, why people recognize her.
Well, it's
kind of
nice that, that she is being recognized as a Fairbanks institution and
that's
as a Fairbanks character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
one of our
quote
characters.
Unquote, but
she is.
And
she really is.
She's tough as nails and gets drunk and knocks them over
and
in
that foghorn voice of hers. And
she really gets full of beer, she gets pretty noisy.
Of course,
I've seen
and her language pretty bad too.
Oh, her language is worse than any drunken sailors sometimes.
Yeah.
But she doesn't mean she's not like that most of the time.
No, not because she's sober, because she tries to be so nice when she isn't full of beer.
Do you know if she's lived any place in town other than over in Grail?
No, I can't remember everywhere she lived.
I think she's got kind of a squatter's right.
Somebody paid for the cabin and gave it to her. One of the service clubs. They bought the cabin.
Oh, they did?
To her. Yeah, she was there and going to be evicted or something. She's had squatting in there or something. Was going to be evicted, so they bought the place for her. So it's hers
now.
She has a deed to it and everything.
Oh,
it's her
good.
Own place
yeah.
now. Yeah, they bought it for her. Yeah. So we couldn't evict her. But they was going to put her out, whoever the owner of the cabin was. And I wished I had a better brains or would write notes down like at that time, like I do write notes now most of the time. And I remember when they were going to evict her, and then the people, she was appealing to everybody and swearing around about at the bars. And so one of the clubs, they bought the place.
Was that very long ago?
Oh, it must be at least 6 years ago. 5, 6 years ago, mm-hmm. All of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was any longer than that.
She doesn't belong to Pioneers, does she?
I'm surprised that she didn't, that they didn't take her in as a member, you know.
Is she part Native?
No. Oh, no. There's no Native there. No. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think so.
As far as I know, unless the mother was tangled with a Native. But no, not, no. The baby could have been that that died in the fire, but I don't think so. No, I don't.
But Irene's...
But they're not sure that...
father was...
They're not sure that Sherman was the father of the baby. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because she came up from Nenana with the baby, and the mother came from Nenana with the baby, and Irene. And then she went back again after a while when she... I don't know how many years she was here, and then she went back down to Nenana. Mm-hmm. She went down during the heyday of the railroad, and that's when she had the baby that's Francis, mm-hmm. Burnett. Yeah, I was just shocked to hear that Frances had become a hopeless alcoholic. She was just terrible down there in California, which is pitiful, too. Because they made a nice couple, she and Brick. But somebody said that they were feuding when they left here. That's why they sold out the store. They were feuding when they left here. So, what over, I don't know.
Well, booze sure gets to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm, it sure does.
In fact, I'm beginning to think that I better go join AA. Every once in a while, I, you know, we sit around or go someplace and I have too much to drink. And I just think, well, it's just, you know, why do that?
Well, you get lonesome that way, you know, and it's company.
Well, I don't
company
do it by
and
myself. It's just,
no,
well, like last
people,
night I was, you know, we sat around and had dinner and then we just drank some more wine and...
Where was this last night now?
Out at Rusty's.
Oh, you was out at Rusty's last night. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
Did you go out with that group? Was that it?
No.
Who did you go out?
No,
I've been wanting to get out. This is new cabin. I haven't been out to see it.
I wanted to get a picture of Rusty and Reuben Gaines together.
And they were together, huh?
And I wrote, there was a story in the Anchorage News last week on Reuben Gaines, that he's going to go down to New Zealand.
That's what I understand. I said Rusty's going to go with him.
And, he said that, so I clipped this out. It was kind of a feature story with a picture and everything, and I clipped it out and I sent it to Rusty, and I said, when it said in the story that before he went to New Zealand, he was going to come up and visit.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the bush.
Friends, you know, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they've done all these commentaries together on the murals. Mm-hmm. So I said, I just wanted to get a picture of the two of them, not for publication or anything, but I just want to get the two of them together.
Yeah. Uh-huh, good.
So Rusty said, he called me and he said, well, I'm going to cook, what's he call it? Hoffen something or other. It's German rabbit.
Oh.
Where you take rabbit and marinate it in wine and then you cook it with a whole bunch of vegetables. It was really good.
I bet it was.
And I didn't know what it was until I got out there. Mm-hmm.
You drove alone? You were just alone out there with them, huh?
No, they were those two, and then Rusty's neighbors.
Oh, they were there.
The ones who give him a ride to town a lot. Young, kind of a young couple. And she works at the university.
Yeah, I think he's teacher for a while. I think she was his student for a little while.
And he was he's an insurance adjuster. Mm-hmm. Had a delightful time. You know, just
wonderful
people.
Grand,
but I didn't expect him to invite me out for dinner.
Oh, isn't that nice?
So I took some food and a bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm. You saw the picture I took of Rusty. I mean, my sister took
a
Rusty. And
you sent me a copy.
Oh, did
oh that's
I?
A beautiful
thing.
Yeah.
I sent him. I had one on the large and sent to him.
Yeah.
And he said he's going to have a frame, but I don't know if he did get it or not. But I was going to frame it, and then I thought, no, what would he think? I was kind of pretentious if I had a frame and sent to him. He'd do what he wanted with it. But I thought it would be pretty enlarged to show up the background. I liked it because of his nasturtiums and the fireweed and all that. I liked the background of his. You could see the outline of the hill across the valley too. So I am, but I've never been in his cabin. He was one time we went out. The cabin was about half up, and I've been wanting to get out. Do you want to shut this off?
Yeah, might as well.
I'll see you.